All right, everybody, welcome back to, I know, right, the podcast that helps recruiters in all things recruiting. And here's what we want to talk about today. Just to wake you up a little bit, these three things actually happened. So a 25-year-old teacher 10 years ago put a picture of a drunken pirate, her, on a website. And then she went to get another teaching job. And they found the picture of the drunken pirate, and they denied her a teaching job because they said she was promoting alcoholism. And when she sued, they decided that post is not protected speech. She didn't get the job. Well, it'd be one thing if that was isolated, but recently a young man got fired from his job because he tweeted the words, "I'm totally bored," while at work. And his boss called him in and said, "We saw the tweet. You no longer have a job." In my own practice here, our search firm, we've had two situations in the last year where one person, and I understand this as someone who was divorced, said some very nasty things about his ex-wife online. His company found out and fired him. And another person also had some racy pictures online and said some racy things online and did not get a job that he absolutely was about to get an offer for. So what is going on here? Companies continue to review online presences as part of their hiring process. How many companies are doing it? Is that right? What do we do about it? What are the best practices? You guys don't want to lose placements. And at the same time, it's not the old world. It's not the world of you send people in, they submit three references, the companies do three reference checks, and then they get an offer. So I was doing some research, and as I always try to do, I try to find a subject matter expert who can talk about these things. And I'm thrilled to have Matthew Burr on the line, an HR consultant who's also a professor at Elmira College who's written specifically about this issue. Matthew, welcome. Can you give us some sense of how many companies, percentage-wise, actually do this in an active way as part of their HR process?
You know, I mean, I think that we've seen an increase in companies spending time doing this over the last decade to 15 years as social media presence has grown. And, you know, it's becoming more and more popular with companies doing some of these things, checking people's social media accounts and, you know, and reviewing this this information. I think the numbers continue to grow. I'm just trying to find my information here real quick.
I've heard as much as 75%.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think what I've seen in the 33%, maybe closer to 50% of companies will do that. But I don't know that it's up around 75% quite yet. But I think we're on a path to get there at this point with organizations, right, and have that piece of another piece of the puzzle in place as part of the hiring process. So we could see it jump to 75%. I think it's going to take some time, but we've also seen kind of a decrease in some social media use with I think some of the controversy Facebook's been under, Twitter's been under fire as well. So we have seen, right, some people jumping off or not using social media as much recently either. So
yeah, and you mentioned in one of the articles I read of yours that it's very erratic as to which states are taking legal steps. In other words, in some states, it's just not legal. Companies cannot, before making an offer, say, give me your Facebook password, or I want to review all your accounts before we decide whether to hire you, which I remember people doing when Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and later, obviously, Snapchat, they came out, and people were literally asking for passwords as part of the interview process, which seems crazy to me, but people were doing it. And now there are, right, there are some states that have asserted themselves and said, yeah, that's just not cool. You cannot do that anymore. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think roughly 23 to 25 different state laws and even local laws that protect people from having to reveal that social media password and having companies look that information up. I mean, I remember when I was in graduate school back in 2010 at the University of Illinois, I went and interviewed at Microsoft, and they straight up told me they were going to look at my social media, and they said, it doesn't matter if it's private, we're going to get in there and look at it anyway. I mean, that was Microsoft's directive right. to me, and I trusted everything Microsoft said at that point, because they are Microsoft. Not that I was hiding anything, but I know that was right in the beginning of the process. We will review your social media if you get an offer and accept, or before you accept. So yeah, there's laws that protect people throughout the country. Now, I have heard, secondhand from people I've worked with that have worked in other organizations, where CEOs will call in certain individuals and say, I want you to log into Facebook right now because you're friends with this person so I can look at their account. So I have heard of some of that behind the scenes backdoor type of social media snooping going on.
Yeah.
But again, you know, it's an organizational preference. You know, as I teach college students, they're getting juniors, seniors, you know, freshmen all the way up to seniors and grad students as well. I mean, I'm pretty direct on my approach with students, saying, look, clean it up. Don't have things out there that people can flag. I mean, it's really the less said, better defended type approach, especially when it comes to social media. So,
well, yeah, and I was reading and doing prep for this that the Library of Congress has decided to store all Twitter postings since 2006. So, I mean, you're sitting there at Microsoft in 2010 going, I think that's okay. Did I post anything stupid? But now you start thinking about tweeting every day, the people that do this, I'm not one of them, but if you're one of those people that feels like you want to be in the game and you want to be heard and you want to have a voice, well, it's pretty hard to remember if it's been since 2006, did I retweet anything stupid? Did I send anything out? Did I like a post that was discriminatory? And I guess this gets at the heart of things that recruiters get scared about. It's like, well, I get that you have the technology, and you, in your article, I was impressed that you said, basically, look, this is going to happen whether you like it or not, because organizations have this unprecedented amount of information, and they're going to use it, and they should in some ways, right? I mean, it's like anything else with the internet. In the beginning, it sounds like a good thing. Like, we have this antiquated system that you write about, where you say, we used to just hand a resume over and then they ask you questions and they look deep in your soul and hope in a 45-minute interview that they figure out who Matthew Burr is, and they make a hiring decision, and then based on two references that you give, which you already have pre-prepped that are absolutely biased, they make hiring decisions, and then they find out after the fact that you were a scammer and you didn't work at this company. And people got cynical. So when I first heard about this, I was like, damn straight, that's a good thing that companies now have an ability to see who these people are. And it allows us as recruiters to say, before I send Joanne out, I'm going to Google her. I'm going to look at her LinkedIn profile and see if it matches her resume. And maybe I will look on Twitter, or maybe I will see if there's anything on YouTube that she's attached to, you know, her CV, and see what that blog is like. Oh, I have abilities to check. Companies have abilities to check. What's wrong with that? But like anything else on the internet, where does the line get drawn of too much information, and where is it unfair? Essentially, we've all become the people that have we're celebrities. We have paparazzi problem. It's like, it's not just what we present. It's like, what's all the stuff out there about us, right?
I think we're going to continue to see some of that line drawn through legislation, and if they start antitrust hearings about social media companies within Congress, I don't know if that's going to go anywhere, but I think there's definitely some bipartisan efforts to kind of rein in some of these people, plus Google as well. I mean, Google and some of the search sites that we use is going to be another one where there is a ton of information out there on us. And yeah, you're right, absolutely, some of that stuff that companies can see, including myself and you in the HR profession, it can be discriminatory if we're looking at Facebook and Twitter and things like that. But also, you're right. I mean, I think I read an article the other day, or was watching the news, one of the Parkland shooting survivors was admitted to Harvard, I believe, and he made a racist comment on one of the social media sites 7-8 years ago, and they pulled the Harvard admissions, acceptance letter away because of that comment. So again, I mean, talking, like you said, 7 or 8 years ago, that it just wrecked that kid's life. I mean, it's a true life lesson, but those are the things that do follow people around forever once it is on social media. But at the same time, companies need to be aware that some of the things they're looking at could be construed as discriminatory hiring practices. And that's why some of these laws are in place. And that's why people, companies get sued, and we continue to see evolution of this legislation as well as new social media sites pop up too. So
right, yeah, but it's such a poor solution though, isn't it? If it's just, well, you can litigate, because like any other litigation solution, it's super expensive, and in the real world, right? And you know this as an HR consultant, all recruiters know this. Sure. 20 years ago, I could not submit a picture of Matthew Burr for an interview because no company would want to see it. They'd say, hey, there's EEOC rules. I can't look at pictures because I could be accused of discriminating. So now I can attach a YouTube video blog to my resume, or I can show you my LinkedIn profile, and now I know what you look like. Well, maybe I didn't hire you because you're a woman, or maybe I didn't hire you because you had a Miami Dolphins, shirt on in Facebook. I don't know what my bias is, but it's impossible to prove. And obviously these legal solutions are going to come up wanting, because there's no way to tell if a company truly discriminated on you because of the picture, even though you may have a pretty good idea they did. And I'm sure somebody somewhere is coming up with an artificial intelligence algorithm that will allow us to prove it. But to me, and I wonder, I wanted to ask you about this because you do teach young people. And I couldn't help, as I started thinking about this, I started thinking about, I guess, just how sad it is that I know the internet records everything and forgets nothing. But it seems like we decided as a society a long time ago that there has to be this period while you're a young person of, like a moratorium on consequence for bad choices. Like, yes, young people drink and young people are going to say stupid things. And we decided a long time ago as a society that the only way we can evolve as people is if people forget the crap that I did 20 years ago, and I'm not that person anymore. And it's kind of a beautiful thing that there's limits of human memory and time heals things and we get second chances. And it just seems like technology is making forgiveness impossible. It really bothers me. I mean, your young students are potentially being threatened in a way that I never was, you never were. It just doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, no, and I totally agree with that. I mean, from a standpoint, a recruitment standpoint, on like when I do recruiting for organizations, looking at someone's social media isn't something that I personally do unless a company wants to take a look at it. I always just steer clear of it because really it's just adding administrative burden and steps to the process. So I absolutely agree. And again, like you said, we talked about 50-75% of companies are doing it. I think it's personally a waste of time. But I agree with the forgiveness piece as well. I think that's why it's so important to have those conversations even younger than that. We're talking about kids in high school doing silly things that is going to follow them around for the next 50 years. I mean, I hate to bring up the political side, but look what happened in the Brett Kavanaugh stuff with the Supreme Court. I mean, that was career ending for both the people involved in that, or it had a detrimental impact on both, the people, the alleged and the alleger. Look, I mean, whether who's right or wrong, that situation had fallout forever for the people involved and the families involved in that situation. So I agree. I mean, our society's gotten to a point where it is harder to forgive because everything is captured electronically now. I don't know where the line is at this point. I think that we're still drawing that line as we move into some of these, this new technology and the evolution we're going through as a society. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just being socially aware of it. I personally don't use Facebook except for business use. LinkedIn for my business, Twitter for business. So I never post anything that's personal or political, or anything like that. I've just kind of steered clear of that throughout my career. And it's just the direction I've gone with that, because again, I'm the guy investigating all these issues when they pop up on Twitter and right. Facebook and what people are saying. So, the less I use it, the better off I am, because I've got to deal with it on the other side of the fence from a recruiting or from an investigation standpoint.
Right. And you had a wonderful do's and don'ts list. And some of it seemed obvious, like questionable pictures and posts on your site. You got to go through that and remove those pictures. And you don't want to make, your pictures, especially on LinkedIn, I think, which is so business oriented, a holiday picture or a selfie of you and your vehicle, you said. And you don't have any option not to be on social media either, right? One of my recruiters said to me, when I told him I was talking to you today, he said, here's what I'd be curious to know. My recruiter, a senior person, said, if someone didn't have an online presence, that would freak me out. I would think, this is not a person that's serious. This is not a person in the real world. Like, what are you trying to hide if you don't even have a LinkedIn profile? Do you agree with that? Do you think people have to have a social networking imprint in order to be taken seriously in the job market these days?
That is one thing I'll back up and say. LinkedIn is something I'll look at pretty quickly. Is if I look at a resume, I'll pull up LinkedIn and just kind of look at their background, high level on there. I don't necessarily think that it's absolutely necessary. I think again for the next generation of students that I'm teaching, again part of my class now, one of my courses that I teach is 5% of the grade is to go out and design and roll out a professional LinkedIn profile with the pictures, the professional picture, mm-hmm. and all. There's a checklist they follow. I think it is necessary to an extent. I mean, some of the other social media sites, probably not so much, but I don't think it's weird if people don't have those. In my professional opinion, I don't, go out of my way to ask those questions or to find out, do they or do they not have LinkedIn? If they don't have it, fine. If their resume stands on its own, that's great too. So.
Okay. What about recommending that you don't post or don't permit tagged photos to follow your profile? Is that something that you also recommend? It seems like tagged photos seems to be a problem for some of these people that get in trouble.
Yeah, and I've been off Facebook since I think May of 2011. I was in grad school at the time and just realized it was time to shut it down. And during
the time suck, isn't it?
What's that?
The time suck, isn't it?
It was an addiction, and I'm like, I got to get off this thing. I was absolutely the best thing I've done related to social media in my life. But, and some of the tag photos, I was like, this stuff has got to go. So I just decided to can the entire profile at that point and move forward in a different direction without social media and just focus on the LinkedIn and things like that. But, I would say to get rid of some of those questionable photos as well. I don't want to isolate people and we all become, technology robots, but you got to know the difference between right and wrong and appropriate versus inappropriate for some of these things. I don't want to see an applicant's main picture on a social media website funneling, six beers or something like that. That's not going to look very good at all. So.
Right. Some of this is just common sense that goes from medium to medium, right? I remember when people said to me, when I was coming up, don't email anything that you'd be embarrassed if it was forwarded to someone else. And it seems like it's the same thing. It's like, think before you post, right? Like, how is this going to look? And I get, believe me, I'm an arch liberal. I think people should be able to do whatever they want. But at some point, you have to position yourself in a way. And it is absolutely hypocritical, because one guy at a company told me, here's why I do it. Here's why I have one of my admin assistants looking at people's social profile, because he used the term 50%. I don't know if it's that high, but he said, look, all these resumes look the same to me. I'm really looking for a cultural fit, and I'm going to find a cultural fit by seeing what you do with your free time, who your friends, what do you like, what do you tweet? Okay, but that's potentially Pandora's box, because you're not going to like everything that I like, and you're not going to like everybody I follow, or all the organizations that interest me may offend you, right? I mean, that seems like the real problem is companies have a legitimate need to make a cultural fit, and boy, is that a slippery slope.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I mean, I think, look, social media use can be a very powerful tool if you are searching for a job. I mean, if people looked on my WordPress, my consulting website, the articles that I post and write every week and the SHRM publications I've done, you know, boy, I could send all that stuff over. They could review all that information if I was to go back and look for a corporate HR job. And I think they'd be like, yeah, this guy really knows what he's doing. He's got a real professional profile, very academic oriented, all those things. It can be a powerful tool in that situation. But yeah, absolutely. It's a fine line that people have to, organizations have to walk in making the best decisions for the organization. Do I think you're going to find culture fit with some social media, you know, reviewing and things like that? Maybe, maybe not. I think that's probably still evolving at this point. I don't know that we have a firm answer on that one. I don't think it should be the only thing that is driving that culture fit, because like you said, I'm a Dolphins fan. You might be a Bills fan. That's an automatic red flag. Or I'm a Red Sox fan. You're a Yankees fan. We probably have some very interesting discussions, but you might not want to hire me for the job either. So,
exactly.
I mean, so yeah,
that's
so no,
problem.
I totally get all that, but I kind of tell my employers just to steer clear of the social media thing, unless there's a true red flag. And, you know, if you're working with kids in a daycare and you've got things up that I hate children, that's a totally different situation at that point.
Right.
And we got to address that thing.
Sure. No doubt about it. And, you know, drinking photos, if you're applying for a job with a brewery or a bar, might be very different than if you're applying for a job as a controller. I get that. But just making common sense choices. You know, what's interesting, too, is I tried to look at, is anybody doing anything about this? And some of the solutions are classic American. This is either going to be litigious, as you mentioned earlier, or it's going to be monetized. I mean, there's a company called Rep Defender that for a fee will monitor your online profile and ask sites to take down any negative information that comes out about you. And they will also, for more money, and this site ranges from $10 for an entry-level person to tens of thousands of dollars for a well-known person, they will make sure that positive stuff gets sent to the front of the Google search line and the negative stuff gets pushed to the back. And this is interesting because one of the people that I know who lost a job, when you Googled her, you got this breach of peace, terrible perp photo that was from 10 years ago when she got into an argument outside a bar and got into a fight and the cops arrested her. Well, you know, at 30 years old, that was 10 years ago. She can barely remember it. But when you Google her, it's the first thing that comes up. Rep Defender says, yeah, for X amount of dollars, I'll make sure that comes up like the 10th screen that nobody goes to, and will push negative results to the back of the room. And that's, so to me, classic American is, are we all going to monetize this and find a way to have our social profile for money be controlled by the private sector?
Wow, I have not seen that yet. That's interesting,
right?
To me. That's
that could very well happen.
Yeah, and yeah. So, I mean, just the other thing I've seen, I have, it's like an identity theft protection thing I use as part of my perks program at the college. I think I pay $10 a month. They also monitor my social media and will flag anything that's like questionable. So again, you know, in New York State, we're having updated sexual harassment laws and training. So again, I post things about sexual harassment, it automatically gets flagged in that system. So I
sure
have seen that, but I didn't realize there was companies actually offering to drive Google Analytics for you, or, you know, or social media analytics. That's interesting. I would hope not, but at the same time, it is America, so I can see that becoming a new industry as well. So
right. And I know there are people who, trying to be creative, have said, there's a guy named Zatrani from who's part of Harvard Law. He says it should be like the bankruptcy laws. We should be able to once every 10 years just scrub our everything that's online if we choose to. He calls it a constitutional right to oblivion. You should just be able to, like declaring bankruptcy, say, it's been 10 years, anything older than 10 years has to come off the internet if I choose to. And he's seriously saying this should be something that could become, you know, a human right at some point, Because, you know, we got to remember, like you said, it's a generational thing. 50, 60, 70 years from now, there won't be anybody who hasn't from day one had their life recorded and preserved, and they don't get to forget or let go of anything. And it'd be an interesting concept to say, you know what, we've just decided that part of being free is your ability to forget, and we're going to let you do that. And it's a scary thing to think that we may get to a point in society where that's necessary. Right now, it's just an interesting thing to talk about on a podcast, and recruiters will lose 2 or 3 deals a year. But if they're losing 10 deals a year over the next few years, then I guarantee there's going to be some sort of movement to say, well, wait a minute, we've got to, as you say, it's all over the place. Some big companies just use it as part of the hiring process. Some really big companies have more of a voyeuristic approach where there's somebody, once you're hired, monitoring your social profile like they do for you at school. But they're doing this at software companies and banks. They're monitoring. And to me, that is so Orwellian. And to me, personally, the worst possible job a human being could ever have, because you're essentially a professional snitch, which is just odious to me, right? But that's going to be somebody's job. Well, if that's going to be somebody's job, at some point, they've got to change the ethics or the laws to protect people from it. Because who are these people that are deciding to play gotcha? And then, we haven't even talked about this, but, you know, if artificial intelligence gets to a point where they say it already is, where they can put Matthew Burr's picture from 10 years ago on a Matthew Burr picture from now, to make it look like you said what you said now, and then take 27 different videos you did, take the words that you said, put them together, and have you say a racist thing to get you fired without any sort of defense, because it appears to be on your profile. I mean, the whole thing is going to get pretty crazy, and it really all comes down to, what are we trying to do here? Are we really trying to find out who these people really are, or are we trying to play gotcha and make sure everybody sort of keeps in line, stays in their lane the way we as a corporation want them to? And that's where I start getting nervous, because, you know, these are people. They make mistakes, they have flaws, they have lives. Their job is not their life. And for them to have to sort of make their social profile antiseptic and anodyne so that nobody knows who they really are seems the complete opposite of what social media was supposed to do in the beginning, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an evolving area for sure. I mean, I totally agree with you. I think we've seen some of that recently with the combining of the words and the video. And I think we're getting into that phase, which is a shame, or that, I guess, that area. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think people should be able to do what they want on social media with, you know, within the terms of a society that's acceptable. But at the same time, we do have a First Amendment right as well. Right. Yeah, I mean, right. It is a slippery slope, and I think we're going to continue to see, evolution in this area. And I think, you know, we might see some of the antitrust stuff break some of this up as well, and redefine what might be appropriate. I don't like government regulation, but at the same time, maybe we do need something in place that helps define some of this area, that's this gray area that we do have lawsuits in as well. So.
You know, a beautiful way to end this, I think, is you made me think of it when you talked about Kavanaugh. And this is not a partisan comment. It's just it's a reassuring part of human nature, right? Because so let's say you are trying to play gotcha. Well, a couple months ago, now we're talking about the other side, the Democratic side, when AOC, this 29-year-old congressman person who was makes no bones about the fact she was a bartender before she was a congressperson. Well, they went looking for dirt, and they found a video of her dancing, and they put it out in order to humiliate her and say, this is a frivolous person. Well, regardless of whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, if you watch the video, it's hilarious and charming, and she dances like a 22-year-old danced, and it did nothing except increase the people who liked her and increase her popularity and shame the people who did it. So I just have this sort of, sounds like from Anne Frank, but I just had this sense that people are too smart. They don't want people to suffer. And if you made a mistake as a young person, or if you've got something online that is questionable, I got to believe Americans being Americans, you're going to get a chance to explain. And people, for the most part, also having been young, are going to overlook some things and give you a chance. There may not be second or third or fourth chances anymore in this new world, but I got to believe we don't have to get too paranoid either, because people are too smart for that.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, again, like I kind of what I said earlier, I frankly don't care about people's social media profile unless there's something really extreme on there that is kind of a violence issue or some type
yes.
of harassing behavior. But if so, you know, again, if somebody's out having a good time dancing at a wedding or at a graduation party, you know, again, I, you know, enjoy it and enjoy life. That's part of life. So again, it's just, I totally agree with you. I frankly don't care that much about it. And I think we could see more evolution towards that. It's on social media. So what, unless it's a grave concern or true red flag, let's just move on. If this is the best person for the job and hire that person. So
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Let's hope. All right. Well, maybe we will revisit this at some point down the road and see, especially if they do break up Facebook or any of the big companies with this antitrust stuff. And we'll see what the debris is and the fallout is from that. But we certainly appreciate your time, sir. Thank you.
That sounds good. I appreciate the time. Anytime you need HR insight, feel free. And I thank you for the time as well.
Okay, everybody, Matthew's bio and a way to follow him and what he writes, which is fantastic stuff, will be on our site. And feel free to contact Matthew for any needs you have. All right, that's all for today. Thank you. Thanks, Matthew. Take care.
Yep, thank you. Yep.